Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
Bang! What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here. Video Game Bang is back. And sorry for scaring everybody in the chat. Because the DMCA decided that they all of a sudden cared about Twitch and started cracking down on music you can play, we have to be really choosy on what we pick. So I picked this really nondescript lo-fi station, and it's nice and chill, and everyone was vibing. And then Mega Ran came in and was like, boom, video game bang, bitch. And so that's what happened. I apologize. If you want to watch us live, you can on twitch.tv/videogame_bang, where you can see my pretty face every week. Now with COVID going around, we're on the webcams. Joining us, we have esteemed guest, social media guy. This is what he gets paid in appearances on the show, actually. I'm sorry you had to put up with him this week, but it's in his contract. He runs social media, and now he's on the show. Jake, Ego Brain, in Discord. How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. Usually, my appearances only come in Christmas, but he asked me to do him a favor, so here I am.
Thanks for showing up, man. We really needed you. Your opinion, it needs to be out in the world. So I'm glad you could.
Oh, it doesn't.
You can help us with that.
Don't need another middle-aged white guy's opinion.
You know,
Spyro came out 2 years ago. All right?
Yeah, and the pre-show.
Hey, that was all pre-show. All right, that was supposed to be.
That's private, Emma. You know that that's all off limits. Anything we talk about in the
not
pre-show.
Not cool, dude. Not cool.
Jake, the funniest thing I think that happened to you was you had a mishap, man. You're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to wear your mask. You want to do it in style. I know that one of our favorite bands growing up was The Offspring. So you went to their official website and ordered one of their COVID-19 masks. And it was the most pitiful piece of trash thing I've ever seen compared to what was on that picture. What the hell happened?
It was sad. I don't know what happened. Basically, all it was just a piece of fabric cut out, and that was it. It had no trimming, no, what do you call it, where they do the stitching around the side. It had nothing. All it was, they took the fabric, they cut it, and that was it. Here you go. $23 for that, shipping and handling, $23 for a piece of fabric that I could have cut myself.
And then it gets even scummier because he sent the pictures to me, and I tweeted them, and I was like, what's up, Offspring? Like, you think Smash Mouth would let this happen? And they responded to me and said, give us your DM. And then I messaged them back and forth. They took all my information, and I never heard from them again. So I'm probably going to get hacked by The Offspring or something. They now have my address. they have everything. Unfortunate. You hate to see
it. I saw them in – they came to Fresno, too. I saw them at the big Fresno Fair.
Well, you know –
it was a great show.
That's what happens with these rock bands, man. They're cool and edgy at one point, and then they turn into boomers, and they start scamming kids. So – there's your favorite band for you. Also joining us back on the show, Lexi, how's life?
It's life, you know, quarantine, you know.
We do know.
Living that quarantine life.
Living that quarantine life, trying to do the best I can, wanting to get out and scream, basically. But, you know, dealing with what I can.
Did you
dealing with the hand that I have?
I know you do a lot of social media, PR marketing. Were you affected by the great hacks today that happened?
No, luckily. But I will say that there are some social platforms that people are using that were hacked as well. And I don't know if a lot of people know that. So we were affected in that way, just making sure we're going to keep posting organically.
Why are you being so ominous about this? Name names. Bust people out. You're acting like... what happened?
Well, I don't want to say the platform, but there's different social media listening platforms that were also hacked. Okay. And I don't know if everyone knows because the platforms themselves sent out like an email. And I know the one that we use, they were hacked, kind of, because of the situation that's going on. And so we're just keeping our eyes peeled and making sure that we are posting organically for now.
So what happened today was there was a mass hackening, the hackening that happened today. And I don't know who this team was, person, single person, but they ended up hacking Apple, Uber, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Obama, Joe Biden, like everybody you could imagine who's like in the news besides the president, I think. I don't think the president
It was anonymous. They hacked him.
Well, whatever happened was – no, I don't think it was anonymous because usually anonymous has like some good thing they're trying to do. Basically, when they hacked everybody, what they did is they said, we love Bitcoin. We want to support it. So donate Bitcoin to this link and we will give you double in return. And of course, because it's the internet and a sucker's born every second, like they ended up making $75,000 off this stunt in just hijacking these accounts.
Wow.
It was the same message across all these different social medias. They all roughly said, Bitcoin's the future, donate to this link and we'll pay you back double. And of course, people fell for it.
I hope it's like some 13-year-old kid.
Does that make it any better?
It would just be very exciting if it was. Like, everybody's like, look at this badass hacker. And it's like some fucking tween trying to show his friends. He's like, hey, guys, look what I can do.
Well, it got only worse because whatever they did, the speculation, it seemed like a lot of people who did get hacked were day one accounts. Like, these were accounts that launched the day Twitter launched. And so they thought maybe there's some exploit that they found through that. And the other thing that was a little suspicious is that when Twitter maybe was trying to fix it, a glitch or bug happened where all verified accounts couldn't make posts. So like at 3 o'clock.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all connected. We are all one. And then
the fuck do you mean we? None of us are verified. I mean, we are not a blue check mark crowd here.
You guys aren't verified? I thought you guys were verified. Huh. Must just be me then. Anyways.
Oh my God.
Emma Skye's back. You were off for a week. Have you stopped watching Hamilton since it came out?
Don't worry about it. It's none of your business. It's a very personal question, okay? I don't appreciate this interrogation.
This is a safe place, Emma. If you need help, if you're addicted, you can seek help. It's not too late.
This is my thing. I want her to beat the world record. That's my thing. The Jesus,
I mean,
world.
You know, somebody in the world has had it running like on a loop since it launched.
Really? You think someone out there is doing that?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
100%.
If that person
is
you.
Have you seen the teenage girls that are obsessed with this?
If that person is you and you're listening to this, please tweet us and let us know it was you. We could verify this for you. Seriously though, should I watch this? I'm getting the itch. It
I don't know what you want me to say. What do you think I'm going to say to that? Like, no, you shouldn't. It's fine.
What?
Of course you should fucking watch it.
Can it be that good though? Maybe it's so built up that now it can never live up to the expectations.
No, it's great. You should watch it.
I think the album or the soundtrack climbed back up the charts. First of all, it's never left for like 275 weeks or something.
Yeah.
It's been on the charts.
Insane.
And it climbed back to 2 after the Disney Plus stuff.
Hell yeah.
It's good. I can't see it. I just can't see it. How is that better than Eminem's hottest album, you know?
It just is, you know?
I guess. What else do we have? This is just kind of like pre-news stuff, just stuff we heard about. We don't know if it's true, might not be. Did you guys hear about AOC playing League of Legends?
What do you mean you don't know if it's true? She literally tweeted.
I mean,
exactly.
Hey,
what
do
you about
there's like, there's the
I
hackening
up.
The
we
hackening
also, that tweet is from yesterday. We also have talked about her playing League before.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, not everyone knew that. And it sparked a lot of articles and talk in the community. A lot of love for AOC. She put out a tweet yesterday, I believe, saying, like, if there's anything good about quarantine, at least I hit Silver 2 in League of Legends.
Hey. Silver 3, I believe.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Is there a big difference between that?
I have no idea.
Lexi's our expert, so we need
to... I mean... It's just you're still in silver, but you know.
Whoa.
One cell closer to gold.
So are you not impressed with her stats?
I could have sworn the first time she announced it, she was like silver 4.
So you think she's degrading her quality.
No, I think that she's just getting freaking trolls like everyone is in this game and in her games, and she's just not making the progress that she could make.
Is she higher ranked than you?
Because.
Yes or no?
Yes.
you were just talking down to her. Yeah.
No, I'm not talking down. I'm saying that I think that she could be gold right now.
You think she has the potential?
I think because of troll. Yes. Because okay. I think when we first talked about this, she was like silver four or something. And I'm silver four. So
someone ended up replying to the tweet saying, like, now we know she deals with constant harassment on social media. And then it's good to know that in her downtime, she joins League of Legends, where the community is infinitely probably more toxic.
And yeah, 100%.
It was a cool little moment, though. Respect to AOC representing, League of Legends out there, representing esports.
Tell you what, she's probably the highest ranked politician in that game.
Wasn't there another person that was higher than her? I swear somebody, like, she no, tweeted Mitch, them and
Mitch
was like...
It was Mitch McConnell.
Wow! It was not. It was some
Mitch McConnell.
It was a state representative from California.
You sure it wasn't Mitch McConnell?
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, my dad's a 60-year-old and he still plays GTA Online. So
he's
like a 300+ ranked on that.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in the world. Another bit of good news for the Halo fans out there. The Halo 3 has just been ported over to the Master Chief Collection on the PC, which is very, very exciting. Ego Brain, you were a big Halo fan back in the day. Now it's out on the PC. You've become a PC gamer. What are you thinking? Are you going to be picking this up?
Definitely. I mean... Ever since I built my PC, that's all I've been doing is PC gaming. My son wanted to play the PS4, and I set it up for him, and I played a little GTA on there, and I can't go back. The graphics are they're so horrible. I can actually see the frames change.
Yeah.
It's awful. So I can't wait to play this on PC with my 2070 Super graphics card.
Oh, wow. And, okay. Nice flex. Okay.
We didn't 144 refresh rate.
Nobody asked for all that. Not one person asked for all that.
You want me to show it to you? I can show it to you real quick.
Oh, my God. He actually is doing it. This is why you got to watch live.
I say, this is a great segment for the audio podcast. Yeah.
Yep. Good job, Jake. It says GeForce RTX. Thumbs up, buddy. Emma Skies. This is truly cross-play now, right? So people on the PC could play against people on the or play with people on console if that's what they choose. Are you going to be revisiting Halo 3 because of all this?
When's the last time I played it? I think I just played it recently, so probably not.
Are you?
Oh, wait, it's on the PC. Why would I care?
Well, it's cross-play, so you could play with people on the PC now. Opens your world up.
I don't think I know anybody that. No.
What about maybe me and you can play around.
Well, now I'm definitely not.
You're not helping. You're pushing her away from it now.
I'm not used to approaching people for stuff. Usually, people come to me for everything, so it's really weird. but I think
I'll play Halo with you. It'll be just like old times.
You know what? I am down because
we'll get our clan going again.
I found the Zune that I stole from you again recently, and I've actually been jamming out to this thing, to the original soundtrack, and I actually found a community of people called, it's Reddit channel called rZune, and it actually says in the description, a diehard group of Zune enthusiasts, and it's got like 4,000 members, wow. And they are active. Every day there's new threads in there on cool things you can do with it, different ways to hack, issues they're running into. They're speculating on like coming up with a new like freeware version that you can hack this thing with and you could share like social. Like the Zune people are out there and they are starving for revolution. So I've been plugging away with this. I did load up Halo 2 to get ready for it. The full remake thing on PC, and they did such an incredible job porting the game. Like the shooting is smooth, playing it, it's like playing it for the first time again, if you haven't, if you only played it on console and you want to, like, you know, flex a little bit of your new mouse and keyboard skills, it does really enhance the
experience. I was gonna say it's a whole different experience because you're playing with mouse and keyboard now instead of controller. Does it translate well?
Perfectly. I think it translates incredibly well. I feel way more strategic when I'm, like, going around. And maybe it's just my experience with Overwatch or something. Maybe I'm reading too far in. But I was, like, crouch jumping onto places that I didn't know I was supposed to be just so I could, like, cheese my way through, because you got to play Legendary every time. There's no other way to play that game. So what about you, Alexi? What are you going to jump on and play some Halo again?
I mean, I haven't played Halo since, like, it's been years. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know
if your laptop's going to be able to hang.
Yeah. There's that. But yeah, I haven't played Halo in forever.
So we can get to more of the standard news, the traditional news, as we call it. We talked about it a little bit at the end of last week. Ubisoft Forward was coming around. If you guys are missing all your E3 action, we've had PlayStation. Devolver Digital had one this week. Google Stadia did one, I believe, today that nobody was talking
about.
They
did? I didn't even know what was the thing that was happening.
You know what? I was on stream on Twitter, and I found a tweet from the official Google Stadia account that says, "We're having a surprise stage show, Stadia Online, tomorrow." And I scrolled down to the first comment, and it was, "Who cares?" All caps. And I was like, "You win the internet, dude." Rando on Twitter. He does, because nobody cared.
Nobody cares, but yeah.
He nailed it. but Ubisoft was pretty dope. I'm not going to lie. I think I prefer Ubisoft Forward to what I saw at the PlayStation one. What do you think, Emma?
Well, I was only focused, like, I was hyper focused on this. I knew what I wanted to see going into it, and, like, I didn't care about anything else, so I, like, tuned everything else out. So I didn't really care about the mobile stuff they were talking about, or I don't even know what the fuck else they talked about.
Yeah.
Brawlhalla, I didn't care about that. Although, again, they had quite a few mobile announcements, which was interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got to. They had a lot of time to fill, right? Did any... Like, what about Brawlhalla? Were you interested whatsoever, though? Like, it looked cute, right?
No. Brawlhalla's been around for a long time. Yeah, Brawlhalla's not new.
Yeah, but it's new characters and stuff. Like, it looked appealing.
Yeah. So I was just hyper-focused on what I wanted going in. I knew that I wanted to see Watch Dogs Legion. Mm, I wanted to see Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Mm. And I wanted to see the Far Cry 6 reveal that got leaked, which, oh my god, I'm so sick. So I get that, I'm going to go on a tangent for a second here. I get that, like, when you're a reporter, especially, like, in this industry, you know, things get leaked, and that's what you report on, that's what you do. But, like, why? If you find something that you know you weren't supposed to find, why report on it? You know how much more impactful it would have been if I didn't know that Far Cry announcement was coming out? Like, who was that for?
The thing
you're just taking that moment away from the developers so that you can have the clicks the day before.
Yep.
Like, Emma,
Emma, you're such a boomer. You just said clicks.
I mean, that's what they literally, whatever.
That's what it's all about.
It's all about the clicks. All these guys want is your clicks.
That's all they want. Like, they want the website traffic, and so they're gonna take this moment that these developers have been waiting years for and rip it out from underneath them the day before. For what? Like, why? Why?
You want to know why?
You just said it. The clicks.
I know why. It's for the traffic.
It's for the clicks, baby. No, it's also, on the real, it's not just the clicks, though. It's the clout. The two C's of the internet. Clicks and clout. Because the thing is, if you get word of that story, if you're the guy who discovered it or whoever, and you know other people are probably going to discover it as well, the one who gets on top of the ladder quickest and screams it is going to be the one that gets the clicks or the clout. And then if you are the one news outlet who survives on those clicks, and that's how you keep your employees fed, is with those clicks, you can't just take the integrity of the game. It's leaked. I got to get it out first so that I got clicks to pay, you know?
So like, I get all that on like a rational level. I understand why they do it. It's just shitty. Like
it is.
Like on a human level, like you have to know that you're being an asshole just to be an asshole. And it sucks. Yeah. So we all knew, but like they closed the show with it. And can you fucking imagine if we didn't know that was coming, the reaction it would have gotten when that Far Cry logo comes up and nobody had any idea there was even a new game coming.
It
was unfortunate.
I was pretty excited to see.
Let's start at the end
after
then.
After the fact.
Let's start at the Far Cry because we just got cinematic. But I shouldn't say just got cinematic because it was a hell of a cinematic.
Mm-hmm. It was a hell of a cinematic, and we also got a release date.
Yeah.
We got, like, if we hadn't had the leak, we would have found out about this game, and 5 seconds later, they would have been like, it's out in 8 months.
That's true. That kind of got buried. I feel like that did get buried.
The game comes out in February 18th, I believe. I'm going to mess up his last name. I've forgotten his last name. The guy
Giancarlo
that plays Gustavo,
Esposito,
thank you.
Yeah.
Is the villain in this game, and that's kind of what Far Cry is known for. They're absolutely astounding villains. So you're more interested in who's going to be the villain in this game than who's going to be the main
character. But let me just note that two of the villains in the past have been both from the Breaking Bad Better Call Saul series. So Gus Fring, and then the guy from Better Call Saul was in, I think, Far Cry
3, right?
3.
The guy with the crazy eyes? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is Voss in Better Call Saul? Well, I've never seen the Better Call Saul, so.
Yeah, he's in there.
Oh, yeah, Voss.
He's a villain, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And it was well acted. Here's the thing, like, gameplay-wise, a little weird, is because the two main characters in it are Giancarlo Esposito's character, and he's, like, a dictator or ruler of this little area. And there's like a seemingly innocent child, looks like it was adopted or he was adopted or whatever. And then they go through this really awesome scene where it's very clear that there's two paths you can kind of go. It ends. So are you playing this major game as a 13-year-old?
That nobody knows. We have no idea.
That's like huge. I'd actually be disappointed if you have to play as a young person.
Why?
Why?
I don't know. I just knowing the Far Cry and like how it's about guns and explosions and all sorts of actiony stuff, being like a 13-year-old who's gonna, you know, wipe through an entire militia at times just seems weird to me.
Of all the video games that you play, that's what seems unbelievable.
Yeah, like that a young person.
We just talked about Halo. But this is the thing. That's what seems unbelievable.
How do you know that's going to be Kit? It could be him, and you're playing through his phases, like growing up. Like, so would you still play it if it was like that, like Assassin's Creed kind of?
No, if like it's after that scene, it's like 5 years later when he's actually a man, then it'd be cool.
Really, so when he's 18, that's okay, but when he's 13, not so much.
Yeah, 18, you're strong, you're spry, you know, you can make decisions.
Oh my god.
The 13-year-old
would be a Debbie Downer, but I mean, I think most foreign wars are fought with kids. Unfortunately.
Wow, you're getting way too deep. You're way too deep, Jake. Way too deep. Let's dial it back.
That's what I'm saying.
This ain't Blood Diamonds, man. This is, come on, bro.
I don't know. But anyway, we're just gonna move on from
you guys. Don't remember the Comey? What was that
Comey guy? All I'm saying is that every 13-year-old I've ever known is dopey. I mean, that's it. They're awkward and dopey, and I don't see them being an amazing action hero in Far Cry 6.
Corey's an ageist and is not going to play Far Cry if it's a 13-year-old.
Show me a 13-year-old that's done anything relevant.
Show me an 8-foot-tall space marine. Are you not going to play Halo?
That's why I play Halo. Because it's feasible.
It's called suspension of disbelief. It's the whole fucking point of these video games.
No, it's feasible that John Spartan, whatever, could get in that suit and wreck a bunch of aliens.
How old was Anakin in Star Wars?
Yeah, see, that's why no one loved that movie. That's exactly why everyone hates that movie.
Oh my gosh.
exactly why.
We're also all talking on the fact that none of us have any idea what this game is going to be. So it might not even be about that kid. It might be about somebody completely separate. So this is all.
I don't see it as a problem for me.
We're in the weeds here.
It's just another character.
I'm excited about the game, though. No lie. I think this is definitely on the buy list. They also went over Hyperscape, a game we talked about a few weeks ago.
Another leak, because they put a big announcement at the end of it that said it's available to play right now, and it was supposed to be huge and exciting, but everybody already knew because fucking everything about this got leaked. The entire Ubisoft press conference got leaked.
Hyperscape, though, like they actually released a beta and stuff, and were paying like big streamers to play it, so they wanted people to know the game was out there.
Yeah, but it was supposed to be like a big announcement at the stream, like on that.
Yeah,
on that press conference. But like 2 days before, they were like, hey, FYI, they're going to launch it at the press conference.
That's because in this one, Hyperscape, nobody at Ubisoft is telling themselves that Hyperscape's going to be the next Uncharted or something like that. That's going to be the next solo big title game that they have. So that stage show is probably an inconvenience for them. That was just an extra video that the video guy had to make, because they're going all into the stream esports zone. So everybody in that world already knows this game. They've already played the game because they're already trying to market to those guys so hard. So I don't.
That's what we all needed, another battle royale esports game
from Ubisoft. That's what everyone.
Nobody
just
asked for this.
They did a good job, though, kind of explaining and giving some personality to the game that I'll say we didn't have before. You know, again, that's coming from the crowd who doesn't give a shit about the storyline or the personality of the game, but for all the regular people, you get that.
I know there was one of the character designers was talking about, like, you know, we design all these costumes and we design their tattoos, and we're like, do we think that this character would actually have a tattoo like this? I'm like, nobody fucking cares. It's a battle royale game. They don't have a personality. That's the whole point.
They didn't tell them that.
Are really doing the
AKA
most here.
Fortnite?
They didn't tell them that part, Emma. Let them believe.
Nobody's playing this for your character design. I'm sorry.
Well, I think what they're really trying to bank on too with that is that they're going to try and do the living world Fortnite model, where things change it's going to be more character focused, because in Fortnite, you know, Tomato Head guy, to my knowledge, doesn't do anything special. But in this one, it's like, all right, it's Apex, but what if we actually gave attention to the story and made the world evolve in different ways? So, maybe they'll find that balance that Apex couldn't find, because as we talked in the past, Apex was really slow to put out updates, and it was for good purpose of not like overworking their people, but I don't know if Ubisoft really cares that much. So see what they do. Watchdog Legions. What do you think of that one, Emma?
I am so excited for this game. I've been excited since they announced it, and which is pretty much the same thing I've been saying from the beginning. If this game does everything they say it does, it's going to be so fucking cool. Like, if it's so, it's such an ambitious idea that when you hear it, your first thought is, that's not going to work like that. Like, that's just not how that's going to work. I'm very excited if it does.
In what way?
So the idea behind Watch Dogs Legion is that anybody can be a part of DedSec. Anybody. Like, literally anybody. So when you're just walking down the street, you can scan or hack whoever, like, just some random NPC walking down the street. It shows you their name, some traits about them, kind of some interesting facts. And then you can just decide, I want to recruit them. And then you're playing as that NPC and you go through as them. And then you collect more and more and more people to the point where, like, you have certain people that are really good at stealth, or certain people that are really good at combat, or are really good with technology. And when you get to these missions, you have a whole roster of people to choose from. So you get to a mission, it kind of tells you what you're doing, and then you go and look, all right, who is really good with drones? This would be great for a drone mission. Or who would be really great at getting in unnoticed and blending in and finding that person? Like, you can be, when they keep throwing out there, it's like, there's always little old ladies. And you can recruit this little old lady into this hacker organization and start playing as her and go through all these missions as her. If that's how the game works and you can truly just look at anybody on the street and add them, That's super fucking cool.
I guess.
How's that believable, though?
Here's
like, recruiting a little old lady. Like, that's like taking an old lady on the street right now and saying, hey, you want to make an app for me? Like, I don't know. Like,
it's called suspension of disbelief. ape. It's the whole point of video games.
See, exactly. Yeah, you're gonna, not going to see me hacking no... I'm not hacking no 13-year-olds in this game. I'm only hacking adult people.
And it's the idea
fully
that when
capable.
You, like, you would have a mission where if you want to just... If you want nobody, you don't want to look suspicious, you need to go gather in some information, and you want to be somebody that nobody is going to suspect of anything, maybe a little old lady on your team is going to be a good idea.
Yeah.
Hey, Marjorie, you want me a quick $20?
So it looks really exciting. One of the things I feel, I have to see if this is a real thing or not, because I don't know if I dreamt this or if it's real. But I feel like in one of the earlier announcements of the game, they talked about the fact that if one of your people dies, they are dead. Like, they're out of your roster, they're out of the game, they're out of everything. They didn't say anything about that in this presentation, so I need to go back and see if that's true. Because if that's true, I would very... That's that. They need to do that.
You want permadeath in this game?
I want permadeath.
Damn, that's heavy.
I would imagine there would probably be, like, a couple characters that are, you know, required for the story, where if you die, it makes you go back. But, like, if you fail a mission and that person dies, you know, it pops you back out and you have to try again with somebody else.
You want to feel the regret of killing Marjorie, getting her in over her head.
And like having to make that choice of like, is this person going to survive this mission?
But it's up to you, right? Ultimately, it's your...
Exactly.
Yeah. So you like, you feel like it raises the stakes because you care about their little digital souls.
Yeah.
Okay. I can respect that. My fear is that it's going to do No Man's Sky type of thing where it's got such an expansive concept like that. You know, everybody in the world is hackable. But that stuff gets old real quick if they make like the hacking interface and like the... If they make the game annoying, or if they do something like there's only three different classes really, you know, and they all just kind of fit into those three. And then you pick the old lady and she's got aspects of like the brawler. Like that'll be kind of disappointing. So I hope there's like at least 30 or so different archetypes of characters. So, you know, it feels like people's skill sets are not just narrowed down to four: support, tank, DPS.
Yeah.
And then
so that's what I'm saying. Like, if this game does everything it says it's going to do, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's worth a shot. Like, I love when a game will do something creative like this, where at least it's got something that makes it different from the other games. And then the other one they talked about was Assassin's Creed, which I saw you had some strong feelings about. Assassin's Creed. I actually thought this was the thing that got me the most excited. This is my biggest takeaway from the entire show. So Valhalla
looks like a really good game. This is not an Assassin's Creed game. I don't know why they slapped the Assassin's Creed IP on this game. They had a 5-minute trailer and a 30-minute gameplay. There is not one mention of the Creed. There's not one mention of the thing that's in your title. There are no assassins. And they actually go through like an assassination mission and they don't assassinate the guy. I was like, this is not... Valhalla is a really cool Viking RPG, but this is not an Assassin's Creed game. And I feel
They killed the guy?
Yeah, like 7 games ago. You mean the present day guy?
You said that they didn't assassinate the guy. Did they kill him?
No, they left him alive, and then he came back and fucked him up later, and then they had to kill him again. Or not again. They had to have a big giant.
They
didn't. So this game is like, it's a Viking RPG. It's a really cool like Viking battle game. But they've completely revamped the combat system. The health system is entirely different now, and you have to like hunt and fish and forage to regain health, which is something that's never been a part of the series. They've redone... The only things that are Assassin's Creed in this game are the fact that they brought back you have a hood, and when you put on your hood, you can like blend into a crowd.
I saw that.
That's the only thing in here. Like, none of it was stealth. Like, when you finish, somebody on Twitter was replying to me and talking about how, like, get ready for this, you know, stealth assassin game where you literally blow into a Viking horn when you finish a battle. Like, how fucking stealthy is that?
So are you less excited about this game now?
Yes.
Well, that's disappointing.
I don't think it looks bad, but this game isn't, like, I'm not a big RPG person. And I know a lot of people really love RPGs, and that's kind of the way that a lot of games are going now. So I understand why they went that direction. It's just not an Assassin's Creed game.
What makes it an RPG? RPG and linear are ways
role-playing. You just you're just role playing a person.
Yeah, I thought you're still like I thought in this game you're still like a defined character that has like a name or whatever. You're not playing Emma Skies in this thing and making decisions. Aren't you pretty much playing through a storyline linearly?
So you can play, you play Eivor as either a male or female character, and they talked about it in the presentation that you can switch your gender at will in the game. Like in the middle of the game, you can just decide, like, I want to be the female version now. And they didn't explain
why would you do that?
They said that it becomes apparent throughout the game. Like eventually there is, like, you realize what it is. So I don't know what that's all about.
Wait, so that's there intentionally?
Eivor. Yeah, it's there intentionally.
So that at the end, you can prove it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It's what in your heart the whole time. That's what it's going to be.
So you play Eivor. The gender is optional. And it's branching storylines. It's branching, you know, somebody that dies in your game in the first mission in somebody else's game could be alive and be a useful tool at the end of the game. Somebody, or even when they talked that assassination they went through, they decided to spare that guy's life. They had a choice. You could either spare his life or you could assassinate him. And later on in that playthrough, it came back to bite them in the ass that they left him alive because he fought them again.
Okay.
And he showed up at, like, it's a branching storyline. It's the idea that you can romance characters. You have all these side quests. You have all these. It's not a linear story in a way that Assassin's Creed games have been, which is interesting when the entire point of Assassin's Creed is supposed to be that you're playing through somebody else's genetic memories. So yeah. It doesn't really make sense that there's, you know, 80 different ways that it could go because it's one person's life. But there also doesn't seem to be any single, like, there's no mention of the idea of Templars. There's no Abstergo. There was nothing indicative of a present day mission. So this game is, it's if you had just made an RPG called Valhalla, fucking sick. Like, that's what this is.
Yeah.
But I think they probably slapped the Assassin's Creed IP on it because that sells better. They're like, this is a name that's going to sell, and we want another game Assassin's in this series
Creed.
Anyway.
They owe us another one. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. It doesn't look like a bad game. It just looks like it's not my kind of game, and it's not an Assassin's Creed game. So which is that's what I don't like about it, is like, I'm losing out on getting an Assassin's Creed game because of this.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
You
it's
though?
Not like the free-for-all that you can play.
See, for me, I'm not a big Assassin's Creed fan, but like Black Flag, I love that game.
That game was the
best
one in the series.
It was really, I really didn't care about the whole Templar thing or anything like that. I was just like really interested in the gameplay.
See, and Black Flag is the one that, in my opinion, did the best job of what they've kind of been trying to do now, where they're balancing, like right now, between Odyssey and Valhalla, they wanted to make games that are set in like a historical time period and it's not about the assassins. Black Flag was the best about balancing the two, where it was set and it was about the theme. It was about pirates. Like, that was the main theme of the game. But they also balanced it with continuing the Assassin's Creed storyline and continuing with the Pieces of Eden and Abstergo and the Templars. Like, that, they meshed together really well. And that was, I think, the game that did that the best.
Emma, you're wrong. First of all, let me just say that, and I'll back that up with another game that I believe did a very similar thing, and it ended up just fine. Halo ODST. What about that? Right? Halo 1, 2, amazing. They came out with ODST. It's not Master Chief. The mechanics are different. It's all stealthy, but it's still like a Halo like engine type of thing. It was like a Halo story. But it wasn't a Halo game. But still, when people put it in the collections, it'll always be remembered. So what if that's
Valhalla isn't an Assassin's Creed story, so your whole thing falls apart.
You don't know that yet. There could be little things or trickles that, or an ending sequence that sets the whole thing in motion. It was part of the Creed the whole time. This is how it began. Like, there was no Master Chief in ODST, so it wasn't continuing with like the Halos and the stuff in his story. Didn't make it any less. It just meant it was a different part of that universe.
I think Corey's going to that.
Go ahead.
Corey's going to that split movie. Like, you didn't know it was part of the universe until the very end. You saw Bruce Willis sitting at that table.
But it wasn't sold to you as a glass movie or whatever the fuck.
Just cutting to the chase.
No. So Halo ODST was But it was, you were told when you went in, like, you know, going in, this is not supposed to be the same kind of a thing. We're going for something different specifically because, and Halo didn't have the thing that Assassin's Creed had, whereas Assassin's Creed has different characters in every game, minus the Ezio trilogy. We all had Ezio. It has different characters mm-hmm. in every one, but they're all connected by the story that progresses through each individual one, the game mechanics, and the stealth aspect of it, like, or stealth or combat, however you want to say it. This one just doesn't follow any of that. Like, this whole franchise is tied together by an overarching story, and this one doesn't seem to fall into any of them.
That you know, I remember
the Halo game mechanics changing in between different games. We had dual wielding, then we didn't have dual wielding, then we had scope on the pistol, then we didn't have scope on the pistol.
But you were still shooting people with guns.
You're still killing people with blunt objects. That part stays the same. I think it's going.
Have either of you played the Assassin's Creed franchise?
Nope.
I played Black Flag.
That was it.
Not yeah. one.
No. So that's a no. So you're trying to argue something you don't even know about.
I mean, all I know is that before I had zero interest in this game, and now I have 100% interest in this game.
And wait, what does that tell you about the fact that you've never cared about Assassin's Creed game, and this one that looks nothing like any of the others finally has your attention? Well, because it's different!
I know, but still.
Well, maybe they're just trying something different, then.
Yeah. Yeah, let them try something different, Emma.
So it doesn't work out, then I'll go back to the old formula. What I've said three times now is this doesn't look like a bad game. This looks like a good game. It's just not an Assassin's Creed game.
Quit trying to gatekeep.
What I'm saying is,
you're gatekeeping.
I'm saying
me,
that
Emma.
The Assassin's Creed is trying something different. The Assassin's Creed is trying something different.
But if there's like nothing Halo, if there's no assassins and there's no Creed, how is this an Assassin's Creed game?
If there are, you can't see them because they're that good.
I think Emma's trying to gatekeep the Assassin's Creed franchise from us is what she's trying to do. Because now if I play this game and I'm really into it, Emma's going to be like, oh, well, you're not a real Assassin's Creed fan. You had to play the other ones.
I can't believe I'm arguing with two people who've never bothered to play the fucking franchise before.
I played it. I'm trolling. I beat the first one. I get my credit. The one that had Kristen Bell in it.
No, you don't. Kristen Bell's not in the first one.
Oh, which one is she in?
She's in the second one.
That's the one I beat. I beat that one.
Oh, my God.
I'm a pro.
So having played most of the franchise, I will be the one here to tell you this does not look like the rest of the franchise.
No, so I agree with Emma. Like, that, like, it isn't free-for-all, like, what you're used to, like, diving and all these stealthy things. Like, I get where Emma's coming from, but I also understand, like, like how you're saying, Corey, like that it might show up somewhere in the game. I don't know. That's why I can't judge it like that yet. But I totally get where Emma's coming from because I did play the other one.
I hope there is something that shows up in the game. But the fact that we've seen, like, at this point, over an hour of content from this game and not one mention of an assassin or of the Creed or of Abstergo. And the only time we saw a hidden blade was in the cinematic. And never since, like, that does not speak to this being whatever. So it looks like a good game. It looks like a cool RPG. It's just not my speed, and it doesn't look like an Assassin's Creed game.
We will keep our eye on that one. So I think that was pretty much all the best of Ubisoft Forward. Overall, top to bottom, I was entertained. I liked their format, I think, even better than the PlayStation format. Like, it just felt like it was constantly moving forward. I do think that other shows up to this one lacked, like, the human element of showing the developers and letting them talk about the stuff. Like, the level designer for Watch Dogs was super endearing, and she showed, like, Easter eggs that they put in previous games. Like, that was cool. I just felt like it was a real wholesome stage show, well executed. The hype was there, the surprises. Maybe we got some spoiled for us, but I think it's my favorite stage show of the year so far. Emma, how does it rank compared to what we've seen from our Corona E3?
I mean, it's fine. I don't know what to say. Like, it was this. It was the PlayStation one. I think this is a much, like, this is a format for these things that's working out very well. Having them pre-recorded and not live is working out very well for them. They did have to put out a statement right before it went up, which goes into the fact that this wasn't live, is they were like, this was pre-recorded. It was before we made a whole lot of changes because they just fired a shit ton of people in their creative team. Like, they fired executives for claims of sexual harassment and sexual abuse. And, like, they had to put out a statement. They're like, this is pre-recorded, so it's not addressed. We just want to let you know we're not ignoring it. We just already had this done when all of that happened.
Yeah.
Which is really the only thing you lose out on it not being live. Like, you get rid of all the technical difficulties. You get rid of a lot of the issues that we see with live presentations and them not going well. So this is a format I think that's working out really well for everyone.
Yeah, dig it. I'm really excited about the Xbox One. I think that's going to be next week. Does anybody know the
July
date?
July 23rd.
July 23rd. That's the one
next
to watch.
Thursday.
I really just hope they crush it. I'm calling that one right now. I want to see Halo gameplay.
Same.
I want to see.
We have to because it's got to come out this week or this month or goddamn it, this year.
This year? Yeah.
2020 in a nutshell.
Next story we got here is the rise of the female gamer. It's here, everybody. Don't worry. We waited 2020 long years to get here. And we are in the age of the female gamer. The number of females who play video games in Asia is growing at a rate faster than its male rivals, according to the latest research. The female video gaming community grew by 19% last year, according to data commissioned by Google. Asia is regarded as the global capital for video games, counting of about 48% of the world's total gaming revenue. Asia includes the markets China, Japan, and India, which are some of the biggest in the world. GameSpot also threw in some demographics that were pretty interesting, closer to home. It said 214 million Americans play video games at least 1 hour a week, and 75% of the homes in America have one gamer in their household. It also said that 70% of kids under 18, about 51.1 million people, and 64% of people 18 and older play video games. Sign of the times. What do you think? Are we cool now? Are we hip? What's going on? When's esports going to take off?
Hasn't it already? I mean, it's on ESPN. It's on Disney. What are we waiting for?
I don't know.
What counts is it taking off?
I think, Corey, what do you mean esports taking off?
I don't know. I feel like in the esports community specifically, and still largely, like, gamers still like to try and call ourselves like the outcast or identify as like, oh, you know, no, we were weirdos. And now it's like the thing. It's the most popular pastime. And now everyone basically quarantined. So we have to play the games.
Or he wants an esports Super Bowl. That's what he wants.
Yeah. Obviously.
The halftime show.
It's called League World.
Everything.
Yeah, exactly, Emma. Yep.
Yeah.
That's it right there.
This idea that, like, video games make somebody a loser kind of went out the window years ago, and the only people still holding on to it are the ones that, like, require that to be part of their personality or something. Or, like, you know, when I was a kid, nobody liked games, so, and they just need that to be... I don't know. Cool. There's people that just want to hold on to that, and they don't like the idea of, like, well, when I was a kid, people made fun of me for it, so people should be making fun of you for it. I'm like, nobody thinks that way anymore. Why are we still doing this?
Yeah.
The seeing the rise in female gamers is we've taken many shapes. It feels like it was never – I feel like it really hit the forefront, like, during Gamergate. And that was such a terrible time period, but it really made awareness. And I think – mm-hmm. afterwards, I think it led to positivity, like, looking back, because that was a lot of years ago now, right? When was that, like 2014,
like 2014, something like that?
Yeah, it was a long ass time ago now. Do you think
it's like 6 years ago, right?
A long ass time. 6 years is a long ass
a long time.
Yeah,
like, my kid's 6 years old. That is a long time.
Yeah, six yeah. years ago.
But I don't think things are, like, drastically improved since then.
You don't?
Not at all. Absolutely not.
You don't think right now we are way further along than we were in 2014.
No.
I think you're
wrong. I agree
wrong.
With Emma Tenek. Well, okay.
Oh,
I agree with...
Let's talk about the fact that the two women in this show are like, no, it's not much better. And the guy goes, yeah, no, I don't think so.
Okay, so I agree with Emma to an extent because, especially with esports, like, I want to see some girls up there battling these guys with League. And what do I see? Just guys. Or I want to see some girls up there showing off their skills on Fortnite or whatever. Yeah, there's popular girls who are playing these games, but for some reason, I don't know like where the balance is between any of the esports games. You don't see like that player. Like there's a couple, but it may be two or something that you could actually name and know, like, oh, this person played for this much money, this cup or whatever. But do you see any girl
don't want to put themselves through that? It's not a welcoming community for them. Yeah, and they know it.
And that's
So before I get the
same
emails,
thing with FGC, there's girls that play in FGC. I mean, I played with girls in the FGC, but again, like, are they top players? Like, no, because exactly what Emma's saying, it's just hard to like put yourself out there because then people are like saying things and it's just goes down a loophole. So
I just want to also say I'm not trying to imply that there's not much more work to be done and that we're not far, but I just think that the landscape now is better than it was in 2014, because I think the fact that we had Gamergate and the arguments being made there have been pushed further along now to where I don't even think that Gamergate situation would even be able to happen now.
Oh, I do.
Really? Because look what's happened in the last couple months of people having like everyone being and able to call out people and kind of drain the swamp like we were talking about last week.
But how many of those people have faced real consequences? It's a very small number.
There's a lot of people, and look at the executives from Ubisoft we were just talking about. Like the people that had positions of power. I'm not talking about the entertainers. That I feel like that's a little different, because you know the streamers who are getting into hijinks and stuff like that. If they, you know, get canceled their stream, they lose sponsors, whatever. But I think most of the stories we've heard that have taken place in industry have resulted in those people getting fired.
I wouldn't say most. I think just about every company has a history of doing things like this, specifically because we've seen women from all over talk about it. And the only reason it's starting to change or it's starting to be noticeable now is because it's more acceptable to talk publicly about it. And maybe it's changing now. Maybe we're seeing the process of it changing right now, but I don't think we're any better than we were 6 years ago because of Gamergate. I think if we're seeing any kind of change, we're seeing it now, and it's only because it's finally becoming acceptable for people to say, hey, this happened however many years ago, and HR specifically told me not to talk about it, told me not to say anything about it, and then when I tried to, they fired me. Like, how many of those have we read? And there was nothing. There was no recourse for the executive until we finally got one big company that just fucking cleaned house. And it's a huge story because they never do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's also a huge story because, I mean, a lot of, like you said, it was a huge cleanup. I mean, that's a lot of people. That was a huge change for that company to undertake. And I'm not saying that it wasn't as needed. I think it's a big story just because how quickly they acted to just get rid of a whole bunch of people all at once, you know?
Yeah. Well, these people, like, companies are finally getting scared.
Yeah.
Because it's finally going to get to the point where, like, oh, if we don't do anything about this and it gets out, like, it's going to affect our sales. Like that's you said,
It's also easier to talk about. So if it's easier to talk about, it'll squash it. Because, I mean, the people that are victimizing these women, you're gonna start realizing I gotta be careful, because or I can't be doing that, because it's gonna get out, you know, because it's so easy. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's easy to talk about. Since it's easier to get out there, there's more incentive not to be acting like a bad person publicly.
What about,
that's what I'm trying to say.
What do you think about like representation though, even today compared to 6 years ago, feels like it was better? Like, we commented on the PlayStation 5, like every major title that was coming out seemed to feature strong, independent women characters.
Yeah,
you know?
And it was a huge deal for me when I talked about the show, because again, we never see that. Yeah. Never. So like, it was exciting because it was novel. Because that, like, we were like, are half of these people women? And it's a novel experience even now. Like, 6 years ago, it didn't change anything to make everything better.
What are you talking about? Like, that's how, like, the issues of the past are carving what we're seeing now. Like the complaints that there wasn't enough representation back then. It's not like it just sprung up overnight. Like it's been taking time. We're seeing people get outed for, you know, devious acts, and we're seeing more representation in the development teams, which is leading to more representation through the artwork of the video games. Like, I just think it's been a long road. I don't think all the stuff we have is so novel. It's been like worked on over time that we're finally able to soak it in or realize what it is.
I just wouldn't give any of that credit to the idea of Gamergate, because that was such a shit show.
Maybe the premise was off, because Gamergate was bad. Like, it was awful, obviously.
And I wouldn't mark that as the turning point in anything. Like, because people still, and especially on an individual level, women are still constantly shit on in this industry, in this community, whether you're working or enjoying or streaming, or like, women are constantly shit on. So I would not look back at Gamergate in that 2014 time period and be like, this is the turning point when people started to respect women more.
It's,
at all.
I can see why you wouldn't want to, but I think it brought so much needed attention to it that everyone who was part of the community at that point couldn't avoid it anymore, and you had to pick sides. And not only did you have to pick sides, like you had to believe it, and you had to go in that direction. So I think it brought a lot of harassment stuff to light. And then what that did, when you saw the women getting harassed online, you know, people had to speak up and be like, hey, that's fucking wrong. And then we rally against that type of thing. And then the people who did say like, hey, it's not so bad, and writing articles, then you're like, oh, fuck that guy. And, you know, and those people don't, you know, have, or they're siloed to their own exile of,
I feel like we remember 2014 differently.
Maybe
I don't remember it being like a huge thing where suddenly the whole community came up and rose up against harassment against women. I remember it being pretty split on people who thought it was bad and people who thought it was fine and it was needed.
That's how we defended it
with the idea that it all went back to ethics and journalism, which it was never about. But people held on to that because that was a thing that they could hold on to. It's not because I'm a misogynist, it's because this.
No, it was never about ethics and journalism. It was
never about that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it was. And it's possible my perspective is skewed because, you know, this podcast has been going on since before that. So we covered it a lot and in depth. And it felt like, you know, we were in those communities talking to those people front lines. You know, we had tons of guests and that was the top thing we would talk about. And so, you know, we did our part heavily to try and make it more about not fucking abusing people and threatening regardless of the situations. And it had nothing to do with journalism. Like that was a red herring the whole time.
Yeah.
That's true. It was about how you treat people. I don't know. I think we're in good times. I mean, you have all that stuff, and then you have the dude who's trying to, you know, sue Twitch over, you know, having women on the platform, basically, and he couldn't protect himself. Did you see? I know we may have talked about it a little bit on the show.
We talked about this a lot.
Did we get all the details
about this?
Do we get the details of the injury?
I don't think we went into detail because nobody wants to hear it. Like nobody wants to talk about this guy's dick. Like this is.
But that's how outlandish it was.
No, but this is exactly what this guy wants. Like, all he wants is people to talk about him and talk about his stupid lawsuit, and he wants to be on all these podcasts and these articles and have all these things written about
him. Is he like a celebrity at this point?
He's done this like 9 times before, and they all get thrown out of court because they're useless and stupid.
If that's really the aim, that's a waste of money, because can anybody even name this dude?
His last name's Eric Estevez.
Are you reading that off of something?
Estevio?
You really know his name?
Just from this fucking story, because we just talked about it.
I mean, I don't know. It's crazy to just see where we're at.
Stuff like this would go away so much faster if people would just not talk about it. But there's so many articles, because it's so sensationalist that you're like, how do you not write about it? How do you not talk about this? How do you not make fun of this guy? But that's all he wants is the attention.
So I say we give it to him. So what he says. I'm just kidding.
It's all about the clicks.
It's all about the clicks, according to Emma Skies. Put that on a T-shirt. So for those of you who collect your free games each week on the Epic Game Store, they got a good one, a doozy, coming up the week of July 16th. It's going to be through the 16th through the 23rd, and it's Torchlight 2. If you're listening to this, it's probably too late. They had a banger of a week with Escapist and like two other games. So please go to Epic Game Store once a week and get your free games. There's no reason not to. Also, Epic was doing a nice little sale on Ubisoft games to celebrate their announcement. And I picked up Far Cry 5 for $8. That seemed like a steal. So if you're looking to get caught up on the Far Cry series before the new one comes out next year, do that. Emma Skies, what's your stream schedule looking like?
I will probably be on tomorrow, Thursday, today if you're listening to the audio podcast, Thursday, 4 p.m., playing some more Typo Man that I started today. That game is a fucking gem.
Can you explain? I was watching it and playing Overwatch at the same time, and then I just saw it was like a word scrambler. Can you explain like the premise of the game?
I don't know. It's a puzzle platformer that is based on the premise of words. So like your character yourself is made up of letters, and like the like everything is made up of letters in this world. And like you'll get to a platform and you'll have all these like words scrambled, and you have to figure out like what am I supposed to do here that makes something happen. And if you move the letter so they spell the word raise, it activates the platform and the platform moves. And that's a very like generic, like the tutorial phase of the game. And the whole thing is built on that premise of finding different words that'll do different things. And then sometimes you'll find words that do things that you didn't expect. So like I spelled out the word sir at one point and it gave me a little top hat. So like just like it is like cute little stuff like that that'll happen. There's like different ways, different words that'll do the same thing. So there's a lot of different ways you can get through doing something. It's just the game is very, very clever. It's really it's very nice. I like it a lot.
Typo
so
man.
And that's cute.
I didn't know if you knew this, Emma, but you were at one time North America's number one Typo Man streamer in the country. Congratulations, Emma Skies.
I bet.
There you go.
I think you said North America and then said country.
In the North America country zone. She was also the only one, but you know, you take the W's where you can get them. I think you sold me on that one though, because I like it. Actually felt like Limbo, like just watching you play it looked like Limbo, but with like a puzzle, like word games in it.
It's very cute. I would recommend it to anybody.
How did you get it? And is it how much?
I've had it forever. It's just been sitting in my library of like games. I think I got it for like $4 at one point because it was on sale. But I have it on Xbox, and I could not tell you how much it is because I don't know.
Lexi, I know you streamed. Every time you stream, everybody DMs me at once. I get like Lexi stream, but then you always stream when I'm doing like I was at a family gathering and I couldn't. I pulled you up on the phone for like 2 seconds and it didn't work. But how did your stream go? Are you gonna stream again?
Yeah, anyone will. It was just like I was still trying to get stuff set up. It ended up being better than I thought just because we were trying to get certain screens, I guess. I've never done the screen thing.
Okay.
So, yeah. But I might stream this weekend. Maybe Saturday night at some point. I have some friends that are over, so we'll probably visit with them. But Saturday night, X Space Minty X is my Twitch, and then Lexi JPR on Twitter. So.
All right, Ego Brain Jake, our social media guy. People could obviously see your meme collecting skills on facebook.com/thevideogamebang, I believe it is. You keep that page active. You have a little community of heathens that like and comment on all your memes. What else? Are you going to start streaming again? Didn't you stream at one point?
Oh, I just got a job, so I'm starting to get stable life-wise. And me and some friends from Discord have been playing Sea of Thieves on Friday night at 6.
Yeah, it's the cutest little thing. Our BGB diehard fans all get in a little boat together and they sail the seven seas. You, Pratt, Sheep. Yep. It's just you three.
That never ending search for booty and
oh gosh, canceled. canceled.
I gotta get my setup. Because every time I've streamed before, like people say, "Oh, you're too quiet," or "The game's too loud." Or
no, he's not quiet. You're just shy. Just tell him.
I gotta get dialed in. But one of these, I'll probably start streaming soon. Oh. But we usually do it Friday.
Cool. I've been streaming a little bit on the channel. I did like a grown-up thing. I sold some stock. so that I could increase, so I can invest a little more in the studio. So I'm a real grown up. So I got the stream looking top tier on What's Up Pizzas. It's a clean 1080p now. It's I got my overlays all reworked. I made sure all that the new alerts and animations are dope. So if you guys want to check out my streams, they're very inconsistent, and they're usually pretty salty. You can check it out on twitch.tv/whatsuppizzas. But that's it. That's the show. Thanks everybody for listening. For Emma Skies, Minty, Ego Brain, my name is Corey Sang. You've just been banged.